Hey guys, this is Jen, and I play the rock gnome rogue Mir. I hope you're enjoying our adventures here on the Roleplay Replay podcast. We now return to the action.
Coming back in the evening, picking back up at the camp, the group that had surveyed the immediate forest, walking back into camp, you see Mir and Falmar collaborating on a project. Oz, what are you up to?
I'd like to kind of just close my palm and open up and try and reveal what the weather is going to look like for the next 24 hours.
Yes. So it's very similar to what you saw before. And then for a moment, the orb actually kind of disappears and flickers above your hand, limned in a faint outline of that like pink hue, and a few clouds blow over the orb, and then it descends back between your hands.
I'll say, it's a little strange. And I'll just let the group know. It's just the three of us now, right?
Yes, it's just you with Mir and Falmar.
Looks like we're going to have a little bit of clouds tomorrow.
Flickering.
Now, you didn't see that, Mir.
Oh.
You're working with Falmar on the crossbow.
Oh. I thought he was speaking to us.
Well, he
like
he
in front
did,
of us.
He did speak to you, but
okay.
My point is Oz casts his spell and unless you said, "Hey everybody, let's see what the weather is," I think probably you saw the orb that I described. And then you spoke to the group. Just as you said. Yeah.
Yeah, just Oz probably wouldn't be like, "Hey guys, this weird thing happened." He just like thinks about it curiously and just kind of ponders on it.
Okay.
And then I know that my berries are going to lose their potency soon. That's not an innuendo. So I'm going to eat one and then pass one to the others. And I'd like to hold my action for the next turn to distribute a berry to each member then when they return to camp.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I like it.
Just so I remember to do that. And and then I'm going to make three more batches of good berries and load them up in my satchel.
Okay.
Three fresh batches.
Very cool. So as the group comes back into camp, other than Falmar and Mir, with the project you guys are working on, is anyone else doing anything that we need to take note of?
How much time? I mean, I guess Guy, can we spend a little bit of time studying?
Absolutely.
DM, I'd like to spend some time.
Okay, so the formula for a long rest, when you take a long rest, that long rest consists of 2 hours of downtime and 6 hours of sleep, not counting a watch in there too. So you can study, and you can either study for 1 hour or 2 hours. But if you guys study for 2 hours, that's what you do until you go to bed.
We'll just do an hour so I don't eat up the whole time.
Okay, cool. Then you can record another hour of study. Anyone else with anything?
I just want to make note that I worked on my hand as well.
Sure. But let's get... Oh, go ahead, Guy.
Yeah, just to be clear, this is coming out of our... Excuse me, this is part of our long rest time, yes?
We are camping and the long rest is happening.
Okay, I won't do anything else then. Except this with Reek.
Well, if that's the case, can I just do 2 hours, DM?
You can, yeah. If
you still
Guy...
have to assign watches, though, right?
Yeah, you guys will need to figure that out. Yep.
I'll take second watch this time. This first watch is easier.
Thalmar, you are privy to what they're doing. Like you've seen it, and I don't know if you want to weigh in at all, but Reek is attempting to learn Draconic.
I was just wondering if I happened to know what was going on, that was all.
Yeah.
I'll take third watch, because I mean that's when I get up anyways. So.
Okay. So let's get back to this crossbow. Well, actually, Thalmar, you'll be able to spend a bit of time with it now, but you're pretty much setting it up to be able to finish it in the morning because you get up early. So go ahead and just make a single check with your blacksmithing tools, and this is going to actually be an intelligence check. Okay, and all you're doing is trying to gather the parts and set things up, and this is going to kind of determine how difficult of a time you're going to have with this in the morning.
So that is intelligence plus double proficiency?
That is correct.
Okay, so it'll be plus 4 total. And I just missed the book. That's a total of 7.
Okay, cool. So you gather all the parts that you need. You are working outside. You don't have a forge. You have a campfire. You'll be able to get the heat that you need. But we'll make some checks when you wake up, and we'll see how it goes, okay? As we settle in, if there's nothing else, who's taking the first watch?
I'll take it.
Okay. From everyone who's going to take watches, sorry, Finn, go ahead.
I would like to tell Rick, I've got it. I can do the first watch. You watched last night.
Oh, thanks, Finn.
You got it.
I've got second watch.
Thalmar, since you're going to be working, you can't stand watch during that time, just so we're clear.
Understood.
I can stand watch third if you want to work, Thalmar.
Yeah, I can do one of them also.
Okay.
I'm fine with.
So everybody but Reek. So let me just have you guys roll your perception checks together. Just tell me what they are.
16.
7 for Thalmar.
Okay. Thalmar, you're not standing watch. You're working. These perception checks are for people standing watch. Yep.
Yeah, I thought I was standing third watch.
No, you're
I offered to take it for you so you could work.
Yeah, and I will do
Guy. You have to that's sleep. So kind of you.
Yeah.
So Guy rolls a 5.
Okay. And then
rolled
we just
nat 20 for 27.
Nice. And Mir rolled a 15. So okay.
She rolled a 16, isn't it? Plus
16.
One.
Yeah. So Guy, during your watch, there is a lot of movement in the trees, and Guy, which watch are you taking?
I believe I have the last.
The last one? Okay. Finn, what were you going to say?
I just said Finn is first.
Right. There's nothing eventful all night long until Guy. Guy, essentially, as dawn approaches, Thalmar, you watch as Guy, like, every time he hears something, there's just so many damn bats in these trees. And every time Guy hears one, he's like, It's a little funny. It's a little distracting. But Guy just wants to keep everybody safe. And he doesn't know what it is. So he's trying to track it down. But all the other watches pass uneventfully. Thalmar, you get up and start working on this crossbow. So you've pulled everything out. You're letting the rivets heat up. You drop the firing mechanism into the housing. And you start to work on fitting that plate. So the first check that you make, I need it to be a dexterity-based check as you are placing everything. You've heated up the butt plate and you're burning it into place. And then you'll be putting the rivets into the holes that you've pre-drilled. But for now, let's just see if you can place everything well. So this is going to be a dex check.
18.
Right. So you place it in. The smell of this hickory wood that the stock is made from wafts up as the smoke comes up into your face. The holes are lining up. Everything looks good. You reach over, you start to grab the rivets. Make a strength-based check.
12.
As you're holding it in your lap, you're finding it really difficult to get this leverage. You move over and you find a harder, flatter surface. Make the check again.
21.
So now that you've got the crossbow firmly secured and against the ground, as you drive the two rivets in, now it's time to set the arm in the far end of the handle. For this, you have a very tight friction joint down there, and you will be wrapping it in cord to hold it in place. So I will allow you to choose whether you make a strength or dexterity based check, but you need to narrate how you do it.
So am I trying to weld it on, or
no? Imagine essentially like one of those toy pop guns, right? You've got this little wooden handle, and back where the finger hole would be, you have mounted the firing mechanism inside of it and closed it with a butt plate. The trigger protrudes from it. That part's done. On the end, you have pre-cut a notch that the Damascus bow will fit into. It's too small. You're going to have to force it or jimmy it or shim it. You'll use either strength or dexterity to do it. I'm going to let you choose, but you have to narrate it in a way that makes sense.
So it seems to me like strength would be the way. As much as I'd love to use dex, I'm imagining using some cords to wrap around in like an X formation around the arm. And then pull, like, setting it on the butt on the deck or on a stone of some kind, and then grabbing those cords and kind of pulling it down as the crossbow is facing is, like, okay, vertical.
So giving yourself mechanical advantage with the rope. If you don't have a DM's inspiration, go ahead and take one now and make this check with your strength score.
All right. It's going to be a 10.
Okay. It's not wanting to get in there. If you want to, you can make the check again with your inspiration that you just earned.
Yeah, I think I will. 23.
Okay, so at first, as you start to tug on it, it's just not budging. It won't go in. You pull and you pull, and you sort of reposition yourself, sliding down and getting a little lower and making the leverage better. And as you continue to pull, the wood holds fast. There's no popping. There's no cracking. And finally, it just gives way. Chunk! With a heavy thud, the Damascus bow of this crossbow slides into place. Keeping the tension on the cord, you wrap it, double wrap it, grab a water skin and pour it onto the rawhide and start to work the oil and the water in, moving it closer to the fire so that it gets tighter as it dries. And in the morning, Mir will have a Damascus steel hand crossbow when she wakes up.
I'd like to position it on a blanket in like so that it's seated kind of slanted in a nice display so that Mir can see as soon as she wakes up.
Yeah.
This is ready. It's for you.
Yeah, you position it in such a way that it's still close to the fire, and from Mir's perspective, when she wakes up, she'll like see the flames like dancing behind it. Cool, man. Okay. As you're propping the crossbow up, you notice as Guy is now starting to like run back and forth across the campsite, looking up into the trees about every 5 or 6 minutes, you notice him doing this.
I'm just going to sit kind of back on a stone or a log that we've got near the fire, kick my feet out, put my hands behind my head and watch.
Okay. Cool.
I have
Guy, yet, you don't actually see any threats or anything, but there is very consistent sound in the trees around you. You've not had a terrible lot of experience dealing with bats or other tree-borne threats. But as you look around, you know, you again, you're not stupid, but like you just check every sound and you don't trust yourself right now because your perception roll was too low.
Fair enough. Guy has his longbow out and like an arrow drawn. He's just pointing at random things with the arrow in the treetop and into the forest as he hears things. Yeah.
Nice. All right, guys. So as you wake up in the morning, Mir, when you wake up, you see propped on a rock with a dark blanket underneath it, a beautifully oiled, meticulously crafted hand crossbow, flames dancing behind the beautiful raindrop pattern Damascus steel of its arm.
I'm going to sit up, and I see it there before me, and I'm going to walk over to it, and I'm going to touch the cross arm of it. And is Falmar awake?
Oh yeah, Falmar is definitely awake.
Is he observing this?
I'm probably keeping an eye, yeah.
So, you look over and Falmar seems to be
is still on Guy though.
Falmar seems to be eating a small piece of bread or something while he's just watching Guy with a smirk on his face.
So I'm going to walk over to him and stand before him until he notices me. And once he does, he'll notice that I've got tears in my eyes, and I will lean over and unexpectedly give him a hug.
I take it you like it?
Yeah. I haven't seen this kind of combination of metal since my grandfather.
Well, go on then. We gotta test it out. Let's go out into the woods.
Maybe there's something
I can have a shoot.
I have to make some more bolts. I only have like the feathers and the halves. I haven't been able to put it all together yet.
I would like to search the box to see if I can find any random parts that I can put together for a very hasty bolt.
I have part of a bolt. I have some small sticks that I've been working with and the feathers that I collected.
The amount of stuff that you guys have, make history checks and see if you remember crossbow bolts in the inventory anywhere. You have quite the collection at this point.
I got a 12.
21.
So Mir, you would remember if there are bolts. Somebody that knows, do you guys have any crossbow bolts somewhere? Okay, so you really and truly do not have crossbow bolts. As you guys are making your way out of camp, making a crossbow bolt is not something that you can just do like real quick. So
yeah, I've been working on them though.
Okay. I wasn't aware that you didn't have any yet.
Yeah, so whoever picked up the crossbow, they were in a different room than me, so I couldn't say, hey, get the bolts.
Okay, cool. Well, in that case, yeah, Falmar, yes. I mean, you could make a bolt, but not quick enough to test it out. So you have this gorgeous crossbow, and then it suddenly dawns on you that you don't have anything to shoot with it, unfortunately.
Anyway, thank you, and I really appreciate it.
Well, have a seat next to me and check out what Guy's doing. this is great.
No, Guy, you know, your watch is winding down and people are starting to wake up. You've done your duty. So you're good.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right, so as everyone wakes up, unless there's anything else specifically that anyone else wants to do.
While I was on my watch, I would have put my goggles on. I took third watch, right?
Yes.
I would have put those goggles on to see how they're working.
Oh, okay. They are still working at this point.
Thank you.
And their performance does not seem to be diminished.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. As we get up and we make our way, I need D6s from everybody. And Falmar, you will be doing this for the first time now, so... Alright. Oz?
3.
Reek?
3.
Guy?
1.
Finn?
3.
Mir?
2.
And Falmar?
3.
Okay. So you guys head out, making your way across the countryside, turning a bit northward, a bit less westward, making sure that you're going the right direction toward El Terrell. The morning passes uneventfully. It's warmer today. The dew is not quite so heavy. As you continue to travel, the morning passes uneventfully, but Oz, you do notice you do start to see a few wisps of cloud coming across the sky. You guys stop for your normal midday. In the morning, I want to give you the opportunity to let me know if you're doing anything specific while you're traveling.
Well, I think Guy would, unless someone else insists, Guy's pretty weary of the woods with anything being able to pop out, like swarms of bats. But I think Guy would insist on trying to take the lead unless anyone else really wants to.
Okay.
I can take up the rear.
I'll go behind him and just kind of be a double check.
And I'm actually going to float towards the rear with Oz because I kind of want to talk to him a little bit.
Okay. Go
I'd
ahead.
I'd like to stick with Mir. Sorry, just so that we can, as long as it's not raining, I want to talk to her about those schematics.
Okay. And so I'll be riding with Falmar, if that's all right with you, Falmar.
Awesome. Oh, Falmar, everyone else named their horses. If you'd like to think about that, your still needs a name. You don't have to say it right this second, but you can think
that's
about
great.
It.
That's great.
I don't think you should be allowed to think about it.
Gilna's taken, so don't even think about it.
That's a good point. Everybody else came up with it on the spot. So what's your horse's name, Falmar?
3, 2, 1.
Does not give in to peer pressure.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. All I can think of is not Britta or Britta 2.0.
Fair enough.
Okay.
So, name pending.
Okay.
Maybe
so,
it's just pending.
Maybe it's pending, yeah.
Pending.
Pending is
Falmar's horse's name is pending. So,
that actually sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, pending.
I agree.
That is awesome. So, Reek and Oz kind of hanging out in the back as you guys are making your way across. It's not raining, but you can see those wisps of cloud clothing from the east. We're coming up on the midday stop. So, what would you guys like to talk about?
Have they stopped, or are they still right? Are we still riding?
No, we haven't yet.
Okay.
So, Oz, we were talking the other day about you changing, right? Like you can change into different things, right?
Yes. Why do you ask?
How did you learn that?
Well, it's something that is not foreign to the people I come from. It's not something just anybody can do, but a big part of it comes from having a relationship with what's around you. In my case, I grew up in a forest. And having that relationship with my natural surroundings, I think that had something to do with it.
So, I'm trying to wrap my head around mercy. You can change into things. Mercy is not a bird, as far as I'm understanding. No. I don't know. I'm trying not to look too foolish around the rest of them. I'm just hoping for a little bit of an explanation.
I think it's only foolish to not ask questions.
Well then.
So you're asking how?
I'm just trying to understand. Is what Finn's relationship with mercy, is it that like the same thing that you have?
No, being able to change shape is not the same. I mean, mercy really isn't an animal.
What do you mean?
Mercy has a special relationship with Finn, but Mercy's made of stone. I don't know much more than that. That's not really my experience.
Hey, Oz, make a nature check.
20.
You do have, and I don't want to overstep.
No,
what
please.
What Ben knows, vice what Oz knows, but Oz definitely has a bit more to offer about elementals and their nature, the way that they are, just as they sound, the embodiment of the elements themselves, right? So if you want to, you can briefly discourse about the elements to Reek, because Oz has spent some time studying such things.
Okay. I'm going to look at Reek and say, actually, my subconscious just came through, and I do know some things about elementals. And then I will spend some time talking to him about elementals.
Well, I know that Oz, I mean, again, like I said, I just want to enable you, but I know that Oz has spent some time pursuing elemental energies and elemental magic, and he does understand the nature of them and the way that they each kind of have their own domain. You know, like, for example, you wield fire well. You are sort of more attuned to fire than maybe some of the other elements, but that doesn't mean you can't perceive them and use them as well. And you understand the way that these elements interact in the physical world, where you use water to put fire out. It has meaning in the realm of the essence of these elements too. They bring each other into balance. And sometimes, especially when they are out of balance, you can encounter things like manifestations of these different elements. And that is generally not natural. It means something is wrong when that happens, unless you are seeking it and you've set the environment and the circumstances up in such a way that you are invoking that manifestation in a way that is harmonious with nature.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not sure how to respond. I assume I would just relay this to Reek and say something along the lines of... Actually, I don't know how I would relay that to Reek in terms of how it relates to what mercy is. Like, I understand that Oz would know something about that.
I think Oz's personality and his adeptness at communication, it probably makes this a pretty difficult conversation for you guys. But you also have nothing but time while you travel. And as long as you're patient with each other, and Reek seems like he's really wanting to know. So I think everything that I just said, Reek probably has some understanding of that at this point.
Cool.
You guys are pretty cool. Like, I mean, shit's weird, but I mean, it's pretty cool. It's like a furball thing. Like, Paddock, is he this cool?
Well, he has fur on his arms, so I can only assume he's pretty cool.
for show.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I'm Oof. Sorry.
Cool. All right, well, thank
that's
you.
That's going
Where's
in the title.
His psychic damage?
Is Reek drunk or just Nathan? Which one?
There's that psychic damage again, yeah. All right. So as you guys have this conversation, you look up just in time to see Guy kind of pulling everyone over near an outcropping of rocks. He hops off his horse and starts to groom it, loosening the saddle, making sure there are no burrs or anything that have gotten into the saddle blankets, watering it. You guys tuck in for lunch. You have an hour of downtime at your disposal during lunch if you wish to do anything with it.
Yeah, Guy is going to go have a conversation with Finn. I don't know what Finn is doing right now, but he's going to walk over to her and say, hey, I know a lot of times when we make camp, or whenever we have downtime like this, I see you raking the ground sometimes. What's up with that?
I like to care for the earth. And when I am going to sit, or we are going to sit and rest, I want it to look a certain way and to be smooth and pleasant.
And what do you... Can I see the rake that you use?
I hand it to him.
Guy will take it, and he wants to just, like, look at the rake up and down, kind of inspect it.
Do you want me to teach you how to use it?
I mean, I know how to... Yeah. Yes. Yes. yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sure, show me what you do. But Guy is really specifically just looking at the rake to see what it looks like it's made of, the condition, the construction, that sort of stuff.
So this particular rake is like a metal rake with a wooden handle, and it has small, I think they're called tines. Is that what they're called?
Chines, you said?
Tines, like with the T.
Oh, gotcha.
And it actually has a spring on it, and it
like it flexes.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So this is based on Aaron's favorite rake from all the yard work she's done.
From True Value Hardware.
Yes. So, yeah. So I'll show you. You know, you can really get into the, you can dig it into the ground a little bit if you want to, and make the lines and. You can really get the leaves and the rocks out of the way. I also have a shovel.
No, I'm just looking at the...
Cool.
That was me talking to myself. Sorry. That's very cool. And guys, trying to observe, does the rake look old, well used? Does it look newish, in good condition?
It is a well-loved tool. It's very well made, and it's been used a lot.
Is the metal, like, rusty at all, or is it, like, a stainless metal?
No, it's been taken care of.
Okay, cool. So why don't you show me, maybe, how do you rake? And the guy will, like, put the rake down and maybe do it a little too aggressively or something like that.
Oh, be careful. She thinks to herself, I swear, if he breaks this rake, I love this rake so much. And like, you just want to gently. Also, you don't want to hurt the rake or the earth. You just want to move the earth. You don't want to disturb it too much.
He rakes more gently this time.
Yes. Think of it as almost like petting the earth. Like it's an animal.
Interesting. Is the earth an animal? Do I not know? I don't know a lot, but the earth's not an animal, right?
No.
Trying to ignore the chat. Oh my god.
I know, it's bad.
do you do it just on the area that you're gonna sit, or do you just kind of do the whole thing?
you know, I kind of do like the whole area, but you know, I usually do like the where I'm gonna sleep. You guys seem to, you know, have your own rituals before bed, and I mean, if you want me to test it out and see how, if you like how I rake and you want to sleep there, like, I could do that for you. Like, that's fine.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, I don't normally do that on the ground, so I'd be interested to see how it goes. And
yeah.
Guy, like, takes the rake and kind of, like, gives it a little flex. Not, like, aggressively, just kind of, like, kicking the tires on a car, that sort of thing. Like, just gives it a little flex to see how durable it is and how springy it is.
Finn is happy that he is taking such an interest in her tools.
Do you only use this for this, right? Like, you don't ever, like, fight with this, right? Like, you wouldn't, like...
Oh, no, yeah, this
like
is...
Like, a two-handed weapon? Nothing like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could, but no, I... That's why I have my mace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe tonight you can show me what it would feel like to have raked the ground before I go to sleep. Maybe it's more comfortable. Maybe I can finally get rid of some of the rocks that I normally under my back.
I think you'll find that you'll get a much better night's rest.
Cool. Well, okay. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. This is very cool.
Welcome.
It's very cool.
I'm glad you like it.
So, we've got this raking lesson going on. Is anyone else doing anything interesting?
I'd say I open up my journal again, and I'm going to spend most of the time in my journal some more.
Okay, cool.
Mir's working on crossbow bolts.
Okay, cool. Guy, did you have your hand raised?
Did I? No.
Okay, just making sure. Falmar, did you?
I'm going to dig in the box of stuff from Rurik.
Okay.
To see if I can find any instruction manuals or find any like new techniques that I haven't done before, especially ones that as an elf, maybe I can learn from some of the things that he as a dwarf has always done, but you know, a new technique in that regard.
Picking up what you're putting down. Just make an investigation check.
That one's easy because it's plus zero. That's a 3.
Okay. You have a very pleasant time poring over Rurik's schematics, and there are a lot of things to learn in here, but I think just kind of you're seeing a raking lesson going on. You're surrounded by your friends, and the weather is great, and it's just leisurely, and you're just not like all that seriously. You know, sometimes it's okay to just enjoy the world and the day that you're having, and so you don't really learn anything important this trip through the box.
Well, in that case, I'm just going to take a nice, wonderful deep breath and enjoy the smell of the woods again.
Okay. Okay, great. Yeah. Anything else?
I have a notebook that I found when I upturned the bag along with the tome, so I'm going to think of that notebook and reach into the bag of holding and pull it out and leaf through it for a bit.
So this notebook is pretty mundane compared to the leather tome. There are some schematics and things. This looks to be sort of like an engineering notebook. Also, perhaps not that interesting to you, Oz, but...
Nope.
Yeah, it's not as... it's definitely not as in-depth as the spellbook, but it's got stuff in it.
I'll give it to Mir.
Okay.
Is this going to fit in my backpack?
The notebook is definitely smaller than the spellbook. Yes, it will fit in your backpack.
I look at the notebook he gives me, and I just glance through it for a moment, and I say, thank you.
Honestly, Mir, as you flip through that, you kind of feel like the most useful thing in it to you would be the blank paper.
Uh-oh. I'm still being saying thank you because I feel like
sure. I just wanted to let you know, just briefly glancing at the schematics, there's nothing earth-shattering in there.
Am I carrying the tome for her since it's so big, the spell book?
I thought that that was understood. I'm sorry, I didn't say anything.
I'll keep it on me for you.
Thanks. I would like to look at that tonight if I could.
Of course.
Oz, with that just being just a mundane notebook and handing it off to Mir, you definitely have time during this break if there's anything else you'd like to do. I know there's several other items in that bag.
There was a couple things. I know there's some sort of spell scroll in there. I was hoping to open that up and take a look at it.
Okay. You can do that. I believe that's on your spell list. Let me just double check. Sorry. Thanks for your patience while I confer with the deep lore.
Yeah, I know the songs. Or the song Time After Time. An old 80s balladish type rock thing.
Time after time.
Yeah, I was going to look the lyrics up for that and change it to Tyne After Tyne and make that Guy and Finn's theme song.
Dang it, man. We could have surprised everybody, you know? Put it in there.
So, Oz, go ahead. As you look at the spell scroll, go ahead and make an Arcana check.
It's going to be a 19 total.
Okay. You rolled more than high enough to discern. This is a scroll of lightning bolt, but unfortunately, it is not on the druid spell list.
Oh.
So you are not able to use it, but you recognize the... This is the first time you've ever looked at one of these things and sort of like found something you could hold on to and ground yourself. You recognize it's dealing with lightning, but you don't know how to use this scroll.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, cool. Anything else from anybody? Okay. Well, as you guys mount up and head back out and start traveling again. Yep.
Did we want to do the whole scene of me raking Guy's bed?
Oh, this is just lunch. This is not a long rest.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, this is still you guys stop for lunch. So we're about to head out for the afternoon. Go ahead and give me those D6 rolls again, please. Okay, Oz?
4.
Reek?
6.
Guy?
1.
Finn?
4.
Mir?
6.
Falmar?
6.
Ooh, okay. 3 6s.
What if this is 4?
That's something we can talk about sometime away from the table if you want to.
Okay. So,
you guys set out from your camp, making your way across the countryside. Oz, you notice the clouds do sort of start to deepen. No rain falls, but as you guys make your way across the countryside, putting a little more distance between you and the wood of sharp teeth proper, but you are consistently moving through these copses of trees and just sort of settling into the afternoon routine as you do, pulling over to water the horses again. At one point, Oz... you approach a copse of trees. Very similar to what you guys have been seeing all day. But in this moment, there's something different. As you step through these trees, there's this compulsion to look into these trees, Oz. It's not a sense of urgency. But there's something about the larger tree that's just ahead of you that seems almost too real. It's like it's too much of a tree. But at the same time, it's almost like it's not really there. Because as you walk toward it, you don't seem to be getting any closer. You look back at the group and you see that you haven't traveled at all. your new tribe of friends is still close by. But then pressing further into the trees, something like a bubble seems to pop. That's the only way that you can describe it. You don't see anything, but it's as if the air around you just... All of you feel it, not just Oz. You all see Oz stepping into a copse of trees, but even as he steps into the trees, he does not disappear. You still see him. Suddenly, you can't quite be sure where the light around you is coming from. It's as if a soft fog of light has absorbed you all. It doesn't obscure like mist. You can still see your surrounding. It's just that suddenly you live in the golden hour. You find yourself in the woods, not a copse of trees. The area suffused all around you with that perfect pre-dusk light, though no sun is visible in the sky. The trees look the same, but different somehow. And as all of you look at Oz, he is slightly limned by a faint pink outline.
Can I go over and just put my hand on his shoulder? Say, yeah. Are you okay?
Do I recognize this sensation?
You have your suspicions. Let's go ahead and make a history check.
Okay. 12.
You have never felt anything quite so intense, but you are familiar with this disorienting collision of your senses and the way that things don't seem to be making sense. You've seen this kind of thing happen before. When your tribal leaders would interact with the Fae.
Yeah, I feel fine, but this is familiar. I mean, we were told stories about these kinds of things when we were children, and I know that some of our leaders, they had interactions like this, so it's not completely foreign, but it's just more intense than anything I've been through.
You're outlined in pink, Oz.
I look down at my hands and just kind of turn them over.
It's very similar to the way that your foes look when you're able to successfully highlight them with fairy fire. But it's much less intense. It's very faint. But because it outlines your entire form, it's very clear to all of you to be able to see it. It's almost like static electricity.
Oz, what does it feel like?
It feels like my senses are kind of colliding with each other.
And you're okay.
Yeah. I'm okay, I think.
I want to step closely and start to reach my hand out and say, can I touch your arm?
Yeah.
And like grab his arm and try and like see if I feel anything.
Okay. As you reach out and touch him, Oz feels normal to you. But this experience is not normal to you, Reek.
Do you know what it means?
I'm... They were only stories when we were children, but I feel like we're in the Feywild.
When he says that, I want to look around. And is there a way I can tell that if we've maybe accidentally gone off course and we're in the wood of sharp teeth, or exactly where I am?
You can make a survival check.
10.
Okay. I think that's appropriate. I think, Finn, you have your suspicions. You definitely know that you are not in the Wood of Sharp Teeth right now, because you're familiar with that forest. You don't have a lot of direct interaction with the Fae. But as a Firbolg, you certainly... You know that they exist, and you know enough about them to, I think, probably be kind of drawing the same conclusions that Oz is, though, unsurprisingly, it's very difficult to pin down exactly what's going on or where you are, which is something to be right on point with being in the Feywild.
Guy turns around and looks behind us.
Okay.
What does it look like behind us? Do I see the exit of the forest, or are we just in it?
You are just in it. As you turn around and look back, it's not as if you can see that you stepped through some sort of archway or clearing in the trees. Like, you are deep in this forest, permeated by this golden light.
And we haven't been going into the forest that long. It's like, I would see where it's...
You guys really haven't moved. You watched Oz step into a copse of trees, but then he also didn't disappear into the copse of trees. And now suddenly all of you are surrounded by this forest. Yes, Mir.
Are we still with the horses? Are we riding the horses?
The horses are not with you.
Oh God, Wicket.
I'm gonna take a few steps backwards to see if I can recreate that popping sensation.
Okay. As you step backwards, the distance between you and the tree that you've been walking toward actually gets closer. And as you push further into the forest, you emerge in a small grove. At its center lies a tranquil pond, a small island with two tall rock outcroppings occupies the southern end of the pond. Oz, you sense the stillness here as being unnatural, as though there's an energy waiting to be released, like electricity is crackling right under the surface of the air around you. The tree that you have been somehow walking towards, even though you've not been walking towards it, now stands before you at the southern end of the pond. There's something about it that is familiar to you, Oz.
It doesn't feel natural, but there's something about this tree I need to know more about. And I'm gonna start stepping towards it.
Okay. Is anyone else doing anything?
I'm going to pull up my great axe.
Okay.
Yeah, Guy will unsheath Shatterspike in his battle axe, and he's going to walk the opposite direction from Oz just to see if there's like any illusions of space, if he actually feels himself getting further away, what's going on.
You said you're walking away from Oz?
Yeah, so if on the map Oz is walking in that direction, I'm like, if he's walking west of where we just started, I'm going to walk like northeast a little bit, or just up towards this direction.
Up that way. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Anyone else?
I'm observing.
I'm going to follow Oz.
Okay.
Has Falmar ever experienced the Feywild before?
I don't think so.
So this is... He's just going to be observing then.
All very new to him, yeah. So then, Oz. As you move closer and closer to the water and the tree, you are struck by the immense beauty of this clearing. The flowers, the smells, the beautiful butterflies and exotic dragonflies. The trees here are so healthy and so green. There's so much life in this clearing. It's really moving to you. The light is gorgeous. There's part of you that, for the first time, maybe since you left your home, feels at peace, until suddenly everything changes. The loam and dark earth, the smell of the fungus and flowers and trees is replaced with horrible smell of sulfur. The water is replaced with some sort of stinking, fetid, yellow liquid. And then just as quickly as that happens, it's all replaced with an even more lush and vibrant landscape.
I'll walk closer to Oz and say, "Did you see that? I think something is really wrong here."
If you thought you were in a tranquil grove before, now the richness of life and beautiful verdance that surrounds you is nearly enough to overcome some of you. And under different circumstances, it might just do that. The grass is greener. The moss is thicker and healthier. The richness of the earth is magnified without becoming overbearing or boggy. You don't smell any rot. You don't smell any of the swampy grossness. It's just life. The tree at the southern end of the pond has grown to somewhat greater heights. The sense of familiarity and character for you, Oz, is overbearing at this point. You feel somehow you maybe know this tree. Out in the pond, where once stood two stone pillars, there's now a graceful, but somehow like violent at the same time, stone archway. And on a stone plinth beneath that archway lays a being that could only be described as being made of gold. And it apparently sleeps on this stone plinth in the middle of this pond.
I'm going to, while watching this golden being, step towards the tree and just kind of rest my fingertips on the bark.
Okay.
And see if I feel any type of connection with it.
Okay. Go ahead and make a nature check.
8.
Okay. As far as a connection with the tree, it's almost like something is blocking you right now. But as you have reached out to touch it, I'm going to come right back to you, Oz. I want to give everybody an opportunity to react to everything that's been going on.
Okay, so I think immediately when everything flashed to a different color and then flashed to a different color again, Guy would have looked over at Oz and yelled, "Oz, what the hell just happened? Is that normal?"
I'm gonna yell back, "I don't know if anything is normal here."
"What? Where are we?"
I think we're in the Feywild. It's where we're at, but it's somewhere else.
What do you mean, it's where we're at, but somewhere else? What does that mean?
I've talked about it with Mir in our travels, and she said something like another dimension.
Like the same place that we were, but the version of it in the Feywild? Is that what
yes.
you mean?
Yes, yes.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I wasn't sure it was a thing until now.
How do we get out?
Okay, so you guys are really far apart, and as you go back and forth sort of yelling at each other, is anyone else doing anything?
Mir is overcome for some reason. She can't see anything.
Okay. I'm
move
just going to
move your token again.
My whole computer shut down. Oh. So for okay. a short period of time, she couldn't see anything.
Gotcha. Okay.
And she's just now coming back in.
Gotcha.
And seemed to have lost part of the conversation, being overwhelmed by the strange sensations.
Okay. Yes. Mira is overwhelmed, and she can experience this as we go on, fresh and new. It'll be cool that way. Okay, so, yes, Falmar.
Well, you were asking for reactions, and when everything changed to that very strange, almost it looked destructive to me, as a wood elf, Falmar is getting kind of, he's like having a panic attack almost, this deep anxiety about what's happening to the world around him, and especially the nature that he sees. But being overcome by the nice tranquility now, does he immediately notice, or do I immediately notice the being in the center of the island, or?
I think so, yeah. I think you would notice it, Falmar.
So if I notice that, then my attention is probably going to be very heavily on him, and I'm gonna, or him or it or whatever it is, and start moving to a place where maybe I can jump across the water
well
less of a distance.
As you approach the edge of the water, go ahead and make a perception check.
21.
Looking out over the water, this creature appears to be asleep, and as I said before, it appears as if it might be made of gold. Looking out there. Falmar, if you want to try to jump over the water, that's fine. But as you do, Oz, where you're communing with this tree, suddenly a face materializes on the tree. The eyes open and flash with green, radiant brilliance. The head bobs out once, quickly looks around. The eyes close, the form pulls back into the tree. Seconds later, the dryad emerges from this tree on the island, but she looks different. As she emerges from the tree, she smolders. Smoke rises from her form and fire flickers from her eyes. And as she comes out of the top of the tree, she screams and says, I am consumed, for he will not wake. And why don't we pick up here next week? This is a great place to stop.
Holy crap.
It's great.